Okay, morning everybody. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Exciting daf coming up today in the Masechta. We are a little bit behind. We're on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. It's 116b, and we are at the two dots. We had a good discussion yesterday regarding the parameters in which you're allowed to save a Sefer Torah from a burning fire. We are in the 16th perek of Masechta Shabbos. Started just a couple of days ago. We started on Shabbos, right? Daf Kuf Tes Vav, where the Mishnah over there discusses how if your house is on fire, you're not allowed to put out the fire on Shabbos. That's a malacha. But what you could do is you could save Sifrei Kodesh from your house. You have a Tanakh in your house, either Torah, Nevim, or Ksuvim. So you're allowed to save the Sefer. There are certain guidelines and parameters in terms of when exactly you're allowed to save the Sefer. But presuming that you have a legitimate Sefer, a bona fide Sefer, so you're allowed to save it. There was a question back in Kuf Tes Vav, what if the Tanakh was written not in Hebrew but in some other language? Are you allowed to save it? There was a question also if it was written not in permanent ink but in non-permanent ink, are you allowed to save it? What is the minimum amount of Sefer Torah that you need to have in order to save? 85 letters. We discussed a little bit about the 85 letters yesterday based on the Parsha of Ahi Ben So. We discussed the Parsha of Ahi Ben So yesterday. What about the Gilyonim, the margins of the Sefer Torah? That was also part of yesterday's discussion as well, whether you're allowed to save the Gilyonim. What about a Sefer that was written by a Min, by heretic? That was also part of yesterday's discussion. And then we ended yesterday with really a fantastic story, a Maisa, regarding Rabbi Gamliel, the sister Rabbi Gamliel, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, and a particular min or philosopher, however you want to describe him. Okay, and that's where we ended off yesterday, and we are now at the two dots on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. And we don't read Ksuvim on Shabbos. In other words, there are three sections of Tanakh. There's Torah, there's Nevi'im, and there's Ksuvim. The Mishnah tells us that Ksuvim is not read on Shabbos. I'm just rereading the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says it has to do with Bittul Beis HaMedrash. What is it? What does that mean? So if you remember on Shabbos, I quoted the Rashi, and Rashi explained as follows. What's going to end up happening is that the Rav gives the shir on Shabbos. And the shir that the Rav gives is the shir in Halacha, Isser Veheter. It's not particularly exciting, you'll forgive me for saying that, but it's important, meaning it's Halacha. So, what's going to end up happening, however, is that you're going to be sitting home, and you're going to open up a Sefer Mishlei. You're going to open up a Sefer Eov, Divrei Hayamim. It's interesting. It's a good read. And what's going to end up happening is because of your reading of Ksuvim, which is presumably Limud HaTorah, but because you're going to be engaged in quote-unquote more interesting material, so you're going to basically say, you know what, I'm not going to go to the Rav Shir today. I'm fine. I'm doing great. So because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash, so therefore the rabbis prohibited the reading of Ksuvim. That is what we said back in the Mishnah. That was Rashi's explanation of the Mishnah. And we are now back in our Gemara, and we are starting the Gemara. Mimnei Ma'in Karin. Amar Rav Loshanu Lebizman Beis HaMedrash. This prohibition is only during the time of the Beis HaMedrash. When did the Rav give a shir? Before eating. So in other words, there was davening, there was a shir, and then there was eating. I'm talking about Shabbos morning. Okay, yeah, correct. Right, we have the minhag here. Thank God that after davening we have a chabur. Okay, so the Mishnah is, I'm sorry. So Rav is explaining that this prohibition is only zman beis hamedrash. Avash lo bezman beis hamedrash karin. But if it's not zman beis hamedrash, meaning so now the only reason why the rabbis prohibited the reading of Ksuvim is to encourage people to go to shir. But if it's not the time of the shir, so then there's no problem. You're allowed to read the Ksuvim. Amar Ushmol Amar Filo Shalobitz Man Beis HaMedrash in Karin. And Shmuel says no, that the prohibition of reading Ksuvim is for the entirety of Shabbos. Ini Vahana Arda Asri Dishmol Hava Ovenada Paske Sidra B'Ksuvim B'Minchasa D'Shabasa. So the Gemara says, now that's strange because there's inconsistency within Shmuel's position. Shmuel happens to be in the yeshiva of Naharda, in the shuls of Naharda, the locale of Shmuel. So what they would do, is that Mincha afternoon, they would have a special Haftorah. And where would the Haftorah come out of? It would come out of Ksuvim. Okay, we don't have this minhag, obviously, anymore. What happened to this minhag? I do not know. But whatever the case is, piske sidra b'ksuvah b'minchas l'shabasa. Ela idma hachi idma. Now, the Gemara notes that that's obviously a gross contradiction between Shmuel and Shmuel, meaning Shmuel can't possibly be of the position that you're not allowed to read ksuvim at all on Shabbos, and meanwhile, nahardah, they would actually read ksuvim in shul. So the Gemara says, rather we're going to suggest like this. Ela idma hachi idma amarav lo shanu ala b'makom beis ha-medrash, aval shalo b'makom beis ha-medrash karin. So now, we're qualifying not in terms of time, but in terms of place. If you are b'makom beis ha-medrash, meaning the... You're actually in shul, wherever the normal place is at the Chacham Darshans. So there you're not allowed to read Ksuvim, but if you're not B'makom Beis HaMedrash, then you're allowed to read. Shmuel Amar, Bein B'makom Beis HaMedrash, Bein Shalom B'makom Beis HaMedrash, Bizman Beis HaMedrash Ein Karin, Shalom Bizman Beis HaMedrash Karin. And Shmuel says, no, it's not an issue of place, it's an issue of time. Meaning that you can't read Ksuvim while the Rav is giving Shir. But if it's another time during Shabbos, so then you're allowed to read Ksuvim. And now this is consistent with what Shmuel said, because Shmuel says on Shabbos afternoon, not when the Rav gives Shir, the Rav gives Shir in the morning. On Shabbos afternoon, so they would have a minhag in the shuls of Shmuel, where they would read Ksuvim on Shabbos afternoon. Ravashi amar la'olam kedamar mikara. Ravashi says, no, we don't have to restructure the whole machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We could leave the machlokas as we originally presented it. Ushmuel kareb nechemia detanya afa pisharmu kitzvei kodeshin korn bahen, aval shonin bahen, vidorshin bahem, nitzrech lepasuk mevi v'robom. So, you're right. In other words, Shmuel's position generally is that there's a ban against reading Ksuvim on Shabbos because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash. However, if you are going to expound Darshan Psukim out of Ksuvim, that's fine. Even though Kisvei Kodesh, you're not allowed to read them, but you're allowed to learn it, you're allowed to Darish it. If you need a Pasuk to bring a proof for any particular halacha, you may do so. Amar nichem mimne ma amru kisvei kodesh in korn behem kidei shiamru bekisvei kodesh in korn vekoshkei mishtari ajatos. Now, the Gemara gives a second, an alternate explanation in terms of why there's a ban of reading Ksuvim on Shabbos. So far, we've been going through the sugya of the Gemara, and the basic position is that there's a ban because we want to promote people to go to the Rav's Shir on Shabbos morning. The Gemara quotes the name of Nehemiah, that perhaps there's another reason why there's a prohibition of of reading Ksuvim on Shabbos, and that has to do with if people start reading Ksuvim on Shabbos, so then they're going to end up reading Shtarei Hedyotos. Okay. What is Shtarei Hedyotos? There's a fascinating Rashi. It's the Rashi right before the next sugya, Shtarei Hedyotos. It's right in the middle of the Amud. Kigon shel cheshbonos, o igaros hashluchos limso chefetz. So it could be Shtarei Hedyotos is referring to accounting pages, right? Accounts receivable, accounts payable. And then Rashi says, or it's talking about letters. Letters as well falls under the category of Ashtari Hedyotos. You're not allowed to read letters on Shabbos. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. It's of course very difficult, meaning certainly understand that to read spreadsheets on Shabbos is going to be prohibited because that's business. And you're not allowed to engage in business on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to read spreadsheets on Shabbos. So that, you kind of understand, not kind of, that we understand. But then Rashi then says it also, letters as well, you're not allowed to read on Shabbos because that's Shtarei Hedyotos, right? Mundane paperwork. And so you're not allowed to read letters on Shabbos as well. Tosos, you can take a look at Tosos, second Tosos on the Amud. He takes exception to this second definition of Rashi of what Shtarei Hedyotos is. Tosos has a hard time imagining that there's a prohibition on Shabbos to read letters. See Tosos for that discussion, but it certainly is interesting. So anyway, but that's the second explanation in terms of why you're not allowed to read Ksuvim on Shabbos. It has to do with the fact that you're going to end up reading Shtarei Hedyotos, which is forbidden on Shabbos. We start now the new Mishnah. Matzilin tikka sefer ima sefer v'tikka tefillin ima tefillin v'yafa pishiyesh betochan maos. Okay. And now look, we've been discussing since the beginning of the perek how you're allowed to save the sefer Torah from the fire. Now usually the sefer Torah is not just simply lying around, but it's in a tick. In fact, for your benefit today, I brought show and tell. So here's my tefillin. And it's obviously in a bag. Not only in a bag, by the way, but in a bag, within a bag, within a bag, and you know, our minhag. We it's like five zippers to get to the tefillin. Okay, but anyway, but here it is. Here's my tick of my my sifrei kedusha, my tefillin. So anyway, so if you're allowed to, you don't have to take the Sefer Torah out of the tick. In other words, you can take the tick as well, together with the Sefer Torah. So, and furthermore, says the Mishnah, is that let's say people have money in their tick, which is normal, meaning especially if it's your weekday bag and you want to have coins in order to give to the Pushka, so it's normal that people have money inside of it as well. So on Shabbos, do I have to now empty out the money? Meaning we know money on Shabbos is Moktzah. So do I have to empty out the money so that when, now that I'm saving my Sefer Torah, I can only save my Sefer Torah? And maybe there's even a heter to save the tick, but I can bring the money out as well? The Mishnah says, no, that's not true. Even Alpha Pishi, Yesh Besochan Mos, even though there's money, you could save the money inside as well. You don't go out of your way to empty the money from the bag. It goes without saying. I can't put money. I can't put money in the bag. I hope we all understand that. That's obviously not what the Mishnah is speaking to. It's just the idea that money is Moktzah. I don't have to empty the bag of its money in order to save the bag. Now, to a question which you've asked me from the beginning of the parak, which is an extraordinarily legitimate question. Where are you taking all this? Meaning, you have a Sefer Torah, you have tefillin, the house is burning, so you're taking it out of the house, you're rescuing it. Now, can you take it into the street? No. I mean, you can't carry it into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's Hotzah, that's an Isser D'Oraisa. So in other words, even though there is a heter to take it out, but the heter does not extend you to take it out to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so where can you take it out to? So the Mishnah says, Alhechem Atzilin Aso, L'mavu She'eino Mefulash, Ben Besera Omer Af Lemefulash. You could take it out to a Mavui. Now, Erevin is the Masechta which we're going to be learning next. A short couple months from now, we're going to be starting Masechta Erevin. Less than a couple months. And we are going to be spending a lot of time discussing what a Mavui is and how a Mavui works. And it'd be good if I went over the whole story of the Mavui right now, but I won't. Just know the following, and we're going to touch a little bit on the Gemara today. Just know the following. A Mavui is basically an alleyway that's contained in three walls. There's a lot of chatzers that spill open into the Mavui. There are a lot of houses that are in the chatzer. So in other words, it's an area where there's a lot of people, but it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it's not a public domain. It's not a street through the main center of town. It's just, and it's what we call an alleyway. Okay, it's modern alleyways are not really a good way to visualize what the Mavui is. But basically, it's a side street, if you will. But it's got walls around it, three walls around it. Can I carry into a Mavui? So, it really are predicated, that question is predicated on two issues. Number one, did we make an Eruv? Number two, is that since the Mavui itself spills out into the street, there has to be some sort of correction, some sort of hecker, some sort of marker that demarcates where the Mavui ends and where the street begins. It's demarcated either with a lechi or a korah, lechi, a vertical pole, korah, a beam going across the Mavui. Okay, if I'm going way too fast, stay tuned, in Erevin, we'll do all this much slower. Where can I take the Sifrei Torah out? So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, you can take it out to a Mavui, even though the Mavui is mefulash. It's an open Mavui, to be described what that means a little bit later on. And Ben Masera says, let's do that again. The Tanakhama says a Mavui she'eino mefulash, a not opened Mavui, and Ben Masera says no, even if the Mavui is opened. Okay, I'll explain that a little bit better later on this morning, and I'll explain all this much better when we get to Erevin. Tana Rabbanan, we now start with the Gemara, and the Gemara seems to now take us off into left field.
Excuse me, before you say the Chotzer's lesson, that's surely can take it up to Chotzer.
Into a chatzer, yeah, in other
that's
words...
what he said before.
Right, the chatzer, well...
It's less than a mavui.
Correct, the chatzer is even less than a mavui. I mean, the chatzer is the courtyard which you're in. And here we're talking about even taking out even one step further, even to a mavui. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa Arba, Sasha Chalas Meshabbos, when the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos. So this is an exciting day, meaning it's the 14th day of Nisan, we're shechting Karban Pesach today. We're eating the Karban Pesach tonight, meaning Motzei Shabbos. Now, even though it's Shabbos, we're going to shech the Karban Pesach. In other words, the Torah gives us a date in terms of when we shech the Karban Pesach, and once there's a date, so that we got to stick to the date. So we shech the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. But because it's Shabbos, so we want to minimize now the amount of effort, energy, and work we're going to do with the Karban Pesach after we shecht it. Now we know that when you shecht the Karban Pesach, so there's a requirement of flaying the Karban Pesach. So what do you do? So for those of you with a delicate stomach, so stick with me, hang with me. We hang the animal upside down after we shechted it on its legs. We basically now cut little slits around the ankles, and basically we pull down on the skin, and we pull down in the downward direction. Now, if it weren't Shabbos, if it were just a regular Erev Pesach, we would keep on pulling. We would pull all the way down until the entire hide of the animal is flayed off the body, so that basically now all we have left is just simply the meat of the body. And part of the reason why we want to do this is A, because we want to get it ready for tonight for roasting. We're going to be roasting it without the skin. And B, more immediate need is that because we got to rip out the intestines of the animal. The intestines of the animal, those are the imurim of the karban, and those are going to be burnt on the top of the mizbeach. So in other words, I'm going to flay. But now, because it's Shabbos, it's now Erev Pesach and it's Shabbos, so I'm going to flay, but I also have to keep in mind that, generally speaking, it's Shabbos. I'm not allowed to flay. But for the purposes of the karban, I'm going to flay. Do I have to take Shabbos into account when I flay? So that's subject to a machlokas. So Rabbi Yishmael says, yes, flay, but stop at the chest. Meaning, so tear and pull the hide down, but once you get to the chest, stop. Don't flay anymore. And the reason why you don't want to flay anymore is because, why am I flaying? Because I want to get the intestines out. Once I got to the chest, everyone has a visual, the animal's hanging upside down, and I'm pulling it down. Once I get to the chest, so the entire cavity of the body is now exposed, and so therefore this getting to the stomach and the intestines and all the internal organs of the animal now is accessible. So stop. Don't flay anymore. Shabbos. Mafshitin eskulo, and the Chachamim say, no, you do have shit all the way to the bottom. Meaning, even though Shabbos, you keep going. Now, so now, I understand the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, it's Shabbos. So minimize the amount of Chilul Shabbos, stop at the chest. I get it. But Ella, Rabban Amai Taima, but what's behind the Chachamim? And by the way, if you're thinking right now, this is a great discussion, but why are we having it right now at this point in time? We're talking about saving Sefarim from a burning house. Mm-hmm. So what's going on right now? So the Gemara will connect. Just give it another minute. So Amar Rabba Barbar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Kra, we are now explaining the position of the Chachamim, that you're allowed to flay, you can keep on flaying, called Po'al Hashem Lima'anehu. If I'm doing something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the covered, for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you're allowed to do it. Now, of course, that's a very vague and obscure pasuk, and certainly not discussing directly the issue of flaying and the Karban Pesach, when Shabbos and Erev Pesach coincided with one another, but as the Gemara is about to explain, here, where's the kavod Hashem in terms of flaying and continuing to flay the entire animal? So Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef says, look, if I stop flaying at the chest, the animal is going to start to decompose. And remember, there's two reasons why we're flaying. Number one is to take out the imurim, but number two is because tonight we're roasting the karban. So I want to flay completely so that there's no hide just sticking to the part of the animal. It'll accelerate the decomposition of the animal, and I do not want to do that. So therefore, there's kavod Hashem involved. Rava Marshalei Kasha Shamayim Mutalim Kinevela, and Rava says, well, there's another issue as well. Meaning, let's say I flay and I stop at the chest. What does it look like right now? It looks pretty nasty. Meaning, it doesn't look good. It looks like a nevela. A shechted animal, I treat it with respect. In other words, after you shecht an animal, generally speaking, you flay the entire animal. You're left with just the meat of the animal. And over here, I'm just laying it halfway, it looks like a nevela. And it's not right, it's just pasnished. It's inappropriate for a carbon to look like a nevela. That's the lama'anehu, that's the kavod Hashem. So my benayu, now the Gemara notes that there are two reasons that are given. Shelo yasriach, that's a physical concern. And shelo yikach shamayim mutam kenevela, that's a perceptual concern. So the Gemara notes that there's going to be nafka. Minazika benayu demanach haptur dedahava. Well, let's say it's left on a golden table. If it's left on a golden table, so it still looks pretty nasty, but apparently on the golden table there will not be decomposition. Inami yuma di istana, or let's say the weather today favors that the animal will not decompose. There is a nice cold wind that's coming from the... So Rashi gives two opinions. It's either coming from the south, or Rashi suggests that it's coming from the north. Okay. Not east, says Rashi. East is a rough wind. Either way. In other words, weather conditions are favorable so that the animal will not spoil. So if you're worried about Shemesh Lo Yasriach, here you don't have to worry. If it's a perceptual issue, you still need to worry. Okay, either way, we've now explained the position of the Chachamim, my flay, all the way down to the bottom, even though it's Shabbos, because of Kol Poal Hashem L'maneu. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan ben Brocha, Hi Poal Hashem L'maneu, my Avid, Lei Shelo Yotzi Asimurim, Kodem Afshat Asa'or. Yeah, there is Kol Poal Hashem L'maneu. Yeah, I do something for Kavod Hashem. But you know what that means? It means that basically I don't make an incision in the animal. In other words, let's say, you could have argued the following, according to Rabbi Shmuel. You don't have to do hefshed at all right now. Meaning, here's what we'll do. We'll make an incision in the animal, okay, and we'll basically reach right through, and we'll grab the intestines through the incision. Why bother flaying at all? So that's what Kol Poal Hashem L'maneu tells us, that you flay a little bit. In other words, tear the hide down, so that now you can access the intestines without having to go through the hide. My time, I'm Rav Huna Breder of Nasa Mishum Nimin, because if I make an incision, so what's going to end up happening is I'm going to have to take my hand and put it now through the hide, through the incision in the hide. Now remember, we're talking about a sheep, could be a goat as well. There's a lot of wool or goat hair on the surface area. So what's going to end up happening is that probably I'm going to collect some of the goat hair or the wool together with the emorim. And that's not appropriate, meaning that when I'm supposed to gather the emorim, I'm supposed to gather only the emorim and no foreign matter like the wool and the goat hair connected to the emorim. And that's why, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, yes, Kol Poal Hashem L'maneu, but that just simply means flay halfway down. I'm Rav Chisda, I'm Amar Ukva, Maya Hajule. Okay, good. So far, so good. So, Adkanu, in other words, so we have learned together now a Tosefta in Pesachim, the fourth parak of Pesachim, that details and describes that when Shabbos and the 14th day of Nisan coincide, so how do I flay the animal? Halfway down, that's Rabbi Shmuel, or all the way down, that's the position of the Chachamim. And what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Why now are we having this discussion, albeit a good discussion, an important discussion, but what is it coming up now? We're talking about saving Sefer Kodesh from the burning house. So the Gemara says like this. Kodim Afshata, or my time, Amar Rav Huna Breder, okay. Amar Rav Chisda. Five lines from the bottom of the Amud on Kuf Tezayin Amud Beis. Amar Ma'ukva Maya Hadrule Chavre Le Rebbe Yishmal Benosha Rav Yochanan Broka. What did the rabbi say to Rabbi Yishmal? Meaning the Chachamim will allow you to flay all the way down. What's their argument? It goes like this. Hachi Kamerle. Im Matzil Antik HaSefer Ima Sefer. Lo nafshi das pesach mi oro. Okay, look. I know. It's going to be a difficult comparison. Okay? But if I'm allowed to go into a house, now the rabbi's allowed me to take out the Sefer Torah. And the rabbi's also allowed me to take out the tick as well. So in other words, now the tick is not essential. The Sefer Torah is essential. Tick is not essential. And meanwhile, together with the Sefer Torah, I'm allowed to take the tick. So here also, as long as now I'm in the middle of flaying, so just let's flay all the way. Lo nafshid as a pesach me'oro. That's a comparison. Okay, and it's a difficult comparison. But we're going to work with it. or at least we're going to try to work with it. Me, Dami, the Gemara says they're really not comparable. Hasam tilta hacha malacha. There, what are we talking about? Taking the bag. In a worst case scenario, we're going to call that activity. Now remember, we're not carrying to a street. We're only carrying into a chatzah. We're only carrying into the mavoi. So the only thing we're doing now is we're handling muksa on Shabbos. That's an iser derabanan. So there, I'm allowed to take out the Sefer Torah, so I'm allowed to take out the tick as well. But there you're talking about the iser at worst of an iser of muksa. Here, you're talking about flaying on Shabbos. That's a malacha on Shabbos.
But you're given permission.
You're given permission to go halfway down. What the Chachamim say is, well, as long as you're going halfway down, to go all the way down. But once you went halfway down, now you have easy access to the intestines. And so now, why would I go down any further? Oh, because once we start, we're allowed to continue. Yeah, but you're talking about a malacha. So the Gemara says, it's a hard comparison. So the Gemara says, well, if you're allowed to save the tick together with the sefer, you're not allowed to move the ore together with the basar, me dami. The Gemara says, again, even if we're just looking at it from a muksa standpoint, they're not comparable. Hasam nasis basar sadavar hamutar. Here, I'm carrying the tick, but the sefer Torah that's inside the tick is totally mutter. So in other words, it's based on heter. But when it comes to the animal on Erev Pesach, Hacha over here, second line down, Nasis Basal Adavar Ha'asr. The hide is connected with something which is Asr. Now let's take a moment to think about this line of the Gemara. Here the hide is connected to something which is Asr. What's Asr? The meat of the Karban Pesach? Rashi says, yeah, the meat of the Karban Pesach. Now that's a little bit strange. What does that mean? It's aser, because we know that the halacha is that although we shech the Karban Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan, we don't eat the Karban Pesach until the night. So right now on Shabbos, such an interesting idea. Right now on Shabbos, the meat is aser. Rashi writes it. Rashi writes second Rashi on the Amud Hacha. Hi or nasis basal sadavah shekulo aser betilto shehabasar aser letaltalo dolochazi leachila ad orsa. Can't eat until tonight. The Pesach eno nachal abalila, because the Karban Pesach is only eaten at night. Vitzali, and it's roasted. And remember, specifically today, we can't even start roasting until tonight. Rabbi Shmuel lays like kavah shemayim benechal lahedjav afilah havei or Torah's kli alav mitzvah b'shem dehavei basis leiser. But the hide is connected to the meat, and the meat is aser at least until the conclusion of Shabbos. Okay, so the comparison between the tick and the sefer is still going to be a very poor comparison to that of the hide and the meat that it's connected to. So maybe we can make the comparison that, look, in the Mishnah we allowed the moving of the tick on Shabbos, but we also remember it allowed it to be moved even though there's money inside. So don't you think that you're allowed to move the hide together with the meat? Midami, the Gemara says again, It's not a great comparison. Hasam nasis basis ladavar haaser uladavar hamutter hacha kulo nasis basis ladavar haaser. Again, the comparison is a very weak comparison, because in the case of the sefer Torah that's in the bag and there's money in the bag, but there are two things in the bag right now. There's a sefer Torah and there's money. It's a basis ladavar haaser, the money, and a davar hamutter, the sefer Torah. So there, I'm entitled to move the tick because it is a base to both. Here, the hide is only a base to the meat, and as we already got done explaining, the meat in its entirety, at least until tonight, is usr. So it's only a basa sadavara usr. So once again, we're trying to compare, but the comparison is very poor. So the Gemara attempts one more time. Well, let's consider the following. My house is on fire. There's a Sefer Torah right there in the corner. But right now, the Sefer Torah is not wrapped up. It's not in a bag. I want to save the Sefer Torah. So quickly, I go to the other side of the house, and I see there's my bag. Now, that bag happens to have money in it. How do I know that?
You know.
Let's just say I know it. It's got money inside of it. And so now what I can do on Shabbos is quickly grab the bag. I don't have to empty the money out. At least that's what the Gemara is thinking right now. And run to the other corner of the house, get the Sefer Torah, and put the Sefer Torah in the bag and take the bag outside. Now, in that first stage of what I just described, what did I do? I took a bag that only has money in it, and I ran across the house. So the bag at that point in time was a basis ledavar ha'aser, and it was fine to move it across. Now the Gemara, and if that's true, so then we're going to make the similar argument that even though the hide right now is connected to the meat, and even though the meat is kula aser, but it's okay. The Gemara says v'hi gufa minala. Now, where did you get all this? In other words, you just fabricated a wonderful story. I just fabricated a wonderful story. How did you know all that? How did you know that you're going to take the bag with only the money and move it to the other side of the house? How did you get all that? Well, the Gemara says, well, let's try to use logic. Let's try. Meaning, in a scenario where I have the bag with the money inside and with the Sefer Torah inside, and the Mishnah gives total allowance to take that bag out of the house, doesn't it stand to reason that if I'm bringing the bag, and right now the bag only has money, aren't I allowed to move the bag across the house and I don't have to empty out the contents of the bag? Even though right now the bag only has money? Midami hasam adahachi v'hachi nafla deleika. Hacha adahachi v'hachi lishtaninan. So the Gemara says, I'm not so thrilled with the logic, because, look, right now the house is on fire. Time is obviously consideration, a very serious consideration. I'd like to get the Sefer Torah out of the house, and quite frankly, I'd like to get out of the house as well. And so now, if I'm instructed, look, the bag right now has got money inside, so before leaving the house, why don't you take some time now to empty the contents of the bag and make sure that there's no money in the bag, and then get out of the house. So, it can be. Meaning that time is really too essential, it's too important right now. The Chachamim allowed you to take the tick out, even though it is a base to both Isser and Heter.
It's more complicated, because if it's money, then you're going to have to give you a share of how much money you can take out. They're going to sit in like
fine. And now, let's take our case into consideration, right? Our story. Where, right now, there's a Sefer Torah on one side of the house, and there's a bag on the other side of the house. And right now, I don't want to take the Sefer Torah out by itself. I want to put it in a bag. And right now, the bag has got money. So what I'm going to do now is go run to one corner of the house, take the bag with the money, run to the other corner of the house, put the Sefer Torah in the bag, and now take it out. Seems like right now, I'm not so worried about time. Seems that way. Meaning, if I'm going to go through all this trouble, I clearly have time. And while I'm running from one corner of the house to the other, so it can't be that I now should be emptying out the bags of the contents of money while I'm running across the house. Maybe, argues the Gemara, that in this scenario, where right now all I got is the bag and money, and I'm running the bag and money over to the Sefer Torah, could be that the Chacham would demand of me, require of me, to empty the contents of the bag of its money before putting the Sefer Torah in. So once again, we're trying, right? Really, we're trying. We're trying to make this comparison between the tick and the Sefer Torah, together with the money inside, and the animal on Shabbos, on Erev Pesach, where the hide and the meat are connected. Ela Amar Mar Bar Ravashi, La'olam Kedamrina Meikara. Let's go back to our first proposal. Ude Kakashi Lachacha Tilcha V'Hacha Malacha. And what was our proposal earlier? Well, how in the world are you comparing money and flaying of an animal? Money is an Isser of Muksa. Flaying an animal is an Isser of Malacha. Kegon de lo kabai le la'or. Well, maybe we can make the argument that even though, yes, it's true, I'm flaying the animal, but I have no interest in the hide whatsoever. Now, if I were to ask you, meaning we are now 117 blot into the Masechta Shabbos, and I were to ask you the question, if we're talking about a case where I'm flaying the animal, but I don't need the hide, What categorically are we talking about? That would have been my answer as well. So at least you know that you're in good company. It's not the greatest company, but at least you're in good company. I would have said the same thing. I would have said that we're talking about a malacha shein tzricha lagufa. It's similar to carrying the body out of the house when I really don't want the body here right now. I just want it somewhere else. It's similar to digging a hole in Shabbos where right now I'm not digging a hole because I want the hole. I'm just digging the hole because I want the dirt. These are all examples of malacha shein tzricha lagufa. I'm flaying the animal right now, but I don't want the hide. Sounds like what we're describing is a malacha shein tzricha lagufa. And what the Gemara now wants to argue is that because it's a malacha shein tzricha lagufa, we know it's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says malacha shein tzricha lagufa is still a chiyuv karban chatas, it's still a malacha daraisa. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not. It's not a malacha. It's an Isser Darabanan, but only an Isser Darabanan. So if that's true, then the comparison is not such a bad comparison. Because now we're talking about Mukta, which is an Isser Darabanan, versus a Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, which according to Rabbi Shimon, is also a Malacha, also an Isser Darabanan. And maybe you want to make gradations of Isseri Darabanan, but right now let's not. Let's just say it very simply, Isser Darabanan, Isser Darabanan. Now, hopefully I've explained all this well. Here's where the Gemara now throws me and you a curveball. Okay? Hitting a curveball is one of the most difficult things to do in baseball. right? the fastball is easy, just you have to work on timing. Curveball is very difficult. Here the Gemara throws a bit of a curveball. Then the Gemara says, well, you know that according to Abai and Rava, Rabbi Shimon will agree that if it's a psik reshe. Now, psik reshe, right, thank you. Psik reshe, thank you, with the perfect intonation. Psik reshe, I don't understand. Psik reshe has to do with the davar sheino mitkaven. Something which I don't intend to do.
Skin the animal.
Here, he has every intention of skinning the animal. It's just a question of what his purpose is. What his goal is in terms of skinning the animal. The Isser malacha of hafshata, of flaying an animal on Shabbos, is because I want the hide. Here, he's skinning the animal. He knows exactly what he's doing. He just doesn't want the hide. I don't know why the Gemara is saying right now, psik reisha v'lo yamus. This is not psik reisha davar sheino mitkaven.
And when is it lo yamut? He's going to skin.
This is an issue of malacha shein tzrich lagufa. Now, I can't impose my will on the Gemara. Right? I could do a lot of things up here. But I can't impose my will on the Gemara. So even though I was totally expecting the Gemara to bring in the discussion of malacha shein tzrich lagufa, the Gemara throws a bit of a curveball. I'm right now admitting I'm not hitting it. I don't know how to hit it. But for some reason, the Gemara introduces the idea of psik reisha v'lo yamos, and the Gemara treats this like a davar sheino mitkaven. Okay.
No.
It's a curveball, I'm telling you. It's a curveball, and...
No, but nobody even raises it as like a wild, really.
And not only did I swing and miss, but I looked awkward in doing so. Meaning, you know, just... You ever see a hitter just like really just totally misguess on the ball? Okay, enough of the baseball references. I'm losing some of you in the baseball talk. Anyway, but v'lo yamos d'shako le bebarze. But the Gemara says like this. Well, yes, he flayed it, but he flayed into very thin strips. And the malacha flaying on Shabbos is only when you flayed into in very large quantities and very large pieces. When you get a whole piece of hide over here, he flayed into thin strips, and because he did so therefore he does not violate the malacha daraisa of hefshet. So once again, we bring it back to now. It's only nisr darabana, not nisr daraisa. Okay. Yeah, but the carbon tamid, however, is an ola. So that means that the whole thing is put up onto the mizbech.
Right.
The hide is removed. The hide is given to the kohanim.
So the hide has
to be flayed. But over here by the carbon pesach, I'm only flaying the animal right now. Meaning, why not wait till after pesach, after Shabbos? I'm only flaying it right now because I need to take the imurim out. Okay, so it's not particularly the same. Okay, hechidame mafulash, hechidame she'ena mafulash. Okay, a little bit of mavui talk right now, and I'm going to go through this quickly because it's extraordinarily important. Please understand, but this really is more for Erevin than it is for Shabbos. So right now, just know the following: that I'm allowed to take the sefer Torah, and I'm allowed to carry it into the chatzar, and even allowed to carry it into the mavui as well. Now, what kind of mavui are we talking about? So that's the question in the Mishnah, whether it's an open mavui or a closed mavui. But the Mishnah doesn't give real good definitions of what does that mean, open versus closed. And the Gemara is going to give no less than three explanations of what open versus closed means. Let's go number one. Amar v'chista shalosh mechitzas v'shnei l'chaim zeh mavui sheinu mefulash. Three walls around this mavui with two lechayayim, two lechis at its entrance, right? Two vertical poles, one, okay, vertical pole, one on each side of the entrance, kind of like the gate, so to say, of the mavui. That is a mavui she'eno mefulash. Gimel mechitzas v'lechi echad zeh mavui hamefulash. And if it only has one lechi, so that's called a mavui hamefulash. Now, you don't know this yet. You will learn this. We'll learn this together in Erevin, or maybe you do know this, which would be great. But really, the halacha is that at the entrance of a mavui, I only need one lechi. I don't need two lechayim. There happens to be one opinion in the Mishnayos in Erevin that says that you need two lechayim. And that opinion is none other than the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. My memory also tells me Beit Shammai, but right now let's just say Rabbi Eliezer. V'tzavai Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer. And interestingly enough, our Mishnah here in Shabbos is actually siding with the position Rabbi Eliezer. Did none? We learned in the Mishnah Erevin. Echshemavai Beit Shammai Melech Vekar Beis Alarmi Molechi Alkar Rabbi Eliezer Amer Shnei Lechayayim Two Lechis. So Amalei Rabbos. Okay, so stop. So that is opinion number one. Of what mefulash versus ena mefulash means. Mefulash means it only has one lechi. Ena mefulash means it has two lechayim. That's opinion number one. Amalei rabba, gemma mechitzos v'lechi echa mefulash karisle. Wow. It's got three walls. It's got a lechi. And you're calling that mefulash? That's an open mavui? That's so difficult to entertain. V'od l'rabbanan natzal esocho ochlen amashkin. And on top of that, if it's a mavui, if she'ena mefulash, which means that it's circumscribed by three walls, and it's got two lechayayim, and the only thing I can do is bring a Sefer Torah into it, I can't bring anything else into it. Right? That's crazy. So chochlin amashkin ella amirava. So now we're up to our second interpretation of what the Mishnah means. Shtei mechitzos u'shnei lechayayim zeh mavui she'ena mefulash. Two walls. And these walls are running parallel with one another. So that means on one side it's open to Rishus HaRabim, on the other side it's open to Rishus HaRabim. Okay? And it's got a lechi on both sides, on the two opposite sides. That's a mavu shein mafulash, shein mechitzos v'lechi echad zeh mavu hamefulash. So really we're at the other end of what a mavu could look like. Two opposing walls and only a vertical pole. Either a vertical pole at both ends, or one vertical pole at one end. Vertical pole at both ends, that's a mavui she'eino mefulash. A vertical pole on one end, that's a mavui mefulash. V'tavai aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Now that takes us to the other extreme position, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. D'tanya yaster akan amar Rabbi Yehuda. Mishayesh lo shtei batim mishnei tzidim rishos rabim. I have two houses facing one another. Obviously those two houses represent two walls on two sides of the street. Rav Yehuda says that if I put a lechi on both sides, I can carry in between. Meaning, interestingly enough, Rav Yehuda says that two walls makes the Rishus Yachid. It just happens to me that I need a lechi on both sides. And those lechis signify that now I have an area in between where I'm allowed to carry.
Okay.
We don't accept the position of Rav Yehuda. So Amr Lo, they say to him, to Rav Yehuda, Ein Marav Rishus HaRabim Bekach. No, that's Rishus HaRabim. You can't adjust the Rishus HaRabim. So Amr Le Abayle, Ditchan, Amr Le Rabban, Nathal Asocha, Ochlan Amashkin. So that's a little bit strange because according to the Chachamim now, I have a Mavoi which is Eino Mefulash. So, and so that means that it's a Rishus HaYachid. If it's a Rishus HaYachid, why can't I carry inside of it not just Sifrei Kodesh but food as well? Ela Amar Rav Ashi Shalosh Mechitzos V'Lechi Echad Zeh Mavui She'eino Mefulash Gimel Mechitzos Belo Lechi Zeh Mavui Mefulash. Now we're going to give a more mainstream approach to understanding our Mishnah. Three walls. If it's got a lechi, that is a mavui, ain't a mefulash, a not opened mavui. If it's got three walls but no lechi, that's a mavui, ha mefulash. Now, even the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that in order to carry within the mavu, it has to have not one lechi but two lechayim. So yes, that's true, but that's to carry food inside of it. But over here, when we're talking about the salvation, the salvaging of a Sefer Torah from a burning house, the Rabbi Eliezer says, here, I'll give a kula. That even though it only has one lechi, and even though for me one lechi is insufficient grounds to be able to carry in the mavoi, but to save the Sefer Torah, I will allow the use of one lechi. The Amar Bina lechayim, ani mila loch lamashkan avala Sefer Torah, becha lechi sagei. I'm fully aware of the fact that I went through that very quickly. And I realize that that's a lot of information. When we get to Erevin, we'll do it again, and we'll do it slower. The house is on fire, now I'm going to be saving from the house Sifrei Kodesh. Okay, what about tomorrow's lunch? What about Shalosh Shudas for tomorrow? Mishnah says, Matzil and Mazun Gimel Se'udos Haroi La'adam La'adam Haroi La'behema La'behema. From the burning house, you can save food. Now the question you should be asking yourself is, I need a Mishnah to tell me that? Meaning, it's food. It's not Moktzah. It's food. What's the problem with saving food? And the answer is going to be, I'm giving away some of the Gemara, which we're going to see in just a minute. The answer is going to be is that if you get into the house and come out of the house and go into the house and come out of the house and start saving food, that fire is really going to bother you. Meaning, right, a number of people came over to me after the daf these past couple days and said to me, you really can't put out the fire? And then I look back and I say, no, you really can't put out the fire. That's a malach of kibbutz. Now, right. In other words, we're just talking about the house. You can't put out the fire. So now you go into the house, out of the house, into the house, out of the house. You realize at that point in time, the fire is really going to bother you. Meaning, as I mentioned at the beginning of the parak, this is a very difficult halacha. Right? Halacha is not normally that difficult. Here it is really difficult. Watching your house go on fire and not being able to do anything about it.
But the assumption is there's no sakar from the fire.
Correct.
If there is anything but the
correct, fire. Of course. So now, you keep going in and out of the house, you're going to put out the fire. So the Chachamim are aware, they understood the psychology of people, they understood how emotional this can be. So the Chachamim said, look, you can go back into the house and get food, but only food enough for Shabbos. No more food than that. And once you got your Gimel Seudos, that's it. You can't go back into the house again. And again, if the Sifrei Kodesh, obviously go back into the house. But short of that, we're done. So let's say the fire breaks out on Friday night. So now you figure, look, I need dinner tonight. I need my children for tomorrow morning. I need my egg salad for Shal Shudas. So that's it. You go out and you save three meals. Now Bishachris, now if the fire breaks out on Shabbos morning, so you had dinner already last night. I only need two meals. So Masil Mazon Beisudas Bemincha. Now what if the fire breaks out on Shabbos afternoon, where I already had my Shabbos lunch, and now I just need my Shal Shudas, so Mazon Suda Achas. Now Rav Yossi Omer Laola Masil Mazon Gimel Sudas. Now Rav Yossi says, look, Gimel Seudos is a shear. It doesn't matter when the fire breaks out. You go in and you save three Seudos, regardless, despite of when it is. Now here the Gemara is asking the question. I went over this already outside. Now we're going to get to see it inside. Why not save more food? What's this business of three meals? So people get crazy over their money. I've seen it in my own lifetime. People get nuts about money. So they see their house on fire and they keep going in and out of their house. They're going to put out the fire. They're going to be Mechal or Shabbos to put out the fire. Now we have another Braisa, and the Braisa teaches us that. Let's say your barrel of wine on the top of the roof breaks. What you can do on Shabbos, you can bring another kli underneath to catch all the wine that's dripping off.
We're going to wait a few more minutes. The Hollywood bus is delayed. We're going to wait a few more minutes. Again, the Hollywood bus is slightly delayed.
Okay, my vacation has been extended by a couple of minutes, so that's correct. I'm still in vacation mode, so that's good. And we, yeah. So maybe kli maniach tachtel v'vash shelo yavi kli acher v'yiklo kli acher v'yitzrof. Okay, but you can't bring another kli. Now hasa ma'ik zerika. So the Gemara says, now again, what's the big deal? A kli.
Yeah, what's the malach?
What's a malacha? So achinam ikzer shem yavi kli derech rishos rabin. Because again, I'm trying to save my wine. My wine, I have a barrel of wine that's unbelievable wine. I've been saving that wine for years, and now it broke, and now it's dripping out. So once I'm allowed to bring as many kalim as I want to save, I'm going to run across the street. I'm going to get a kli from my neighbor's house. I'm going to bring it over here. I'm going to take it through the rishos rabin. And so the rabbis are again sensitive to the fact that we get a little bit crazy over our money. Right, can I reference Yaakov and the Pachim Ketanim?
Right.
Okay? We get a little bit crazy over our money, so therefore the Chachamim said, you know what? One clean, that's it, to save all the wine. Gufa nishbar l'chavis b'rosh gago, mevi kli yamaniach tatecho v'vash lo yavi kli acher v'yiklo kli acher v'yitzarev. Nizdam lo orchin, mevi kli acher v'kolei kli acher u'mitzarev v'lo yiklot v'achar kach yazmin. Now, the Braisa goes on to say that, let's say you have friends come over. Oh, wonderful. Perfect. Okay, right? Did you notice that my wine is dripping off from the rooftop? Now, I know this is a little bit strange, but again, I'm sensitive to the fact that the Chachamim said that I can only bring one kli in order to save. But you know, you guys can bring one kli, and you guys can also save. So everybody take a kli and save. So take a kli, take everyone and take a kli and save. But says the Braisa, I can't invite my friends with the sole intent and purpose of, hey guys, wouldn't it be great if everybody comes over my house now with a kli? Right? Hint, hint. So wine party. The Braisa says you can't do harama. And Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Amar Marimim. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says no, a little harama is okay. A little legal subterfuge over here is acceptable. I mentioned this a number of times throughout Shas. Under certain circumstances, subterfuge is okay. Right? This is what's called a legal loophole and an acceptable one at that. Okay? Smart accounting, if you will. The lema peplugta the Rabbi Lazar of Yeshua Kamiflig, the Gemara will try to now connect and tie the machlokis over here with a machlokis elsewhere in Becharos. The Tanya we learned also Vesbano. Shanafla labor. You have a mother and offspring that fall into a pit on Yantav. Rabbi Lazar Omer Ma'alas Arishanam Lasa Shokhto. Now, you know you can't shech both animals today. There's a prohibition in the Torah of Osav Esbeno. So I can't shech both today. So, what do? I bring up one. V'asheni Osav Parnosa Bim Kamo. Now, the second animal I leave in the pit. Now, why not just simply pick it up on Yantav? Meaning, I won't shech it. I'll just pick it up on Yantav. No, it's tircha yisera, meaning that's too much effort and energy to expend on yontif, so you have to leave it in the pit. I'll feed it in the pit. I won't let it die in the pit, but I can't take it out of the pit. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Mishul shalei yamos. And Rabbi Yehoshua, Omer, Malin, Sarishan, Amenas, Shokhtu, Vein, Shokhtu, Ma'arim, Ma'alas, Sheni. And what Rabbi Yehoshua allows you to do is the following. He says, you're allowed to pick up the first animal. Look, we're going to shech the first animal. Take it out. Look at it. You know what? That second animal looks better. And even though your thought process was going into this subterfuge, you know you're going to go after the second animal. That's fine. It's okay. In other words, such harama is okay. Now then you can shecht either one. So me, my, the Gemara one now wonders how, and what the Gemara is trying to now do is connect the machlokas between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer to our discussion over here, inviting others to save the wine. Me, my dumad kan lo kam Rabbi Elazar asam desher b'parnasa. Rabbi Elazar over there says no subterfuge because look, I'm not going to lose the second animal. I'll feed the second animal in the pit, so there's really no reason to do harama. But over here, achad lo afshar lo. But over here, I'm really going to lose wine. So if I don't do this harama, I'm going to lose the wine. V'yad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehoshua asam mishum deikat tzar balechayim ava hachad deleikat tzar balechayim lo. And Rabbi Yehoshua, in the case of the two animals falling into the pit, the animal is going to be very uncomfortable in the pit. There's an issue of tzar balechayim. So there, harama, for the sake of tzar balechayim, that would be fine. But over here, we're just talking about financial loss. It's just money. But there's no tzar balechayim. Tzar balechayim for the owner. I like that.
We're going to start talking in 10 and 4 minutes. Pat Domini in 4 minutes at Green Tap. Okay. Next stop, the Green Domini location. Chef, let's start putting on your tefillin.
Okay, I'm going to enjoy.
Everyone that
no, I'm not.
On Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay.
First period.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to enjoy my my final 4 minutes of vacation. We're going to stop here in the Gemara. We're going to continue Tana Rabbanan tomorrow. Okay, we are finished the sugya of saving Sifrei Kodesh. We talked about the prohibition of reading Ksuvim. We finished with that discussion. We talked about saving the tick as well, together with the Sifrei Kodesh. Try to connect that with shechting a Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach that coincides with Shabbos. Talked about the Mavui and bringing it out into the Mavui. Three definitions of what Mavui Mefulish versus Eina Mefulish is. And then we're now talking about saving the food from the house on Shabbos. Machlokas in the Mishnah, how many meals you're allowed to save. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Chanan Yemei Nekash Amar Ratzakash Baruch Hu Zakin Sol Aficha Achir Bem Torah Mitzvah Shenemar. Anai Chafetz Amantziko Yagdil Torah Vyadir.